Good afternoon and welcome to this edition of Officer Radio. I'm your host, Frank Borelli, editor for Officer.com. Joining us today is Lieutenant Jason Stoddard, owner-operator of Warrior Training Group, a nationally recognized training company for law enforcement, and WTGTactical.com, an excellent online source for all of your equipment needs. Lieutenant, thank you for joining us today.
Thanks for having me, Frank.
Listen, this September, as you well know, is National Emergency Preparedness Month, where the federal government would like for all of us to be adequately prepared for anything that nature or civilization might throw our way. We both know sometimes civilization isn't too civilized. So let's start out today talking about what police officers in general need to do day to day. I mean, they're putting on their uniform going to work, or they're putting on their suit to go to work. What should they be doing ahead of time to make sure they're prepared, even if it's just for that shift?
Well, first and foremost, I think that the priority would be to make sure that you're good at home. Make sure that your house is prepared so that you don't have to worry about it while you're at work. Make sure that your family's prepared. We all know that when we volunteer to do this job, that our job predominantly comes first, especially in a emergency situation. If we can't get out and help other people, then we can't accomplish our job. If we're busy worrying about what's going on at home and things such as that, it can put a damper on our ability to respond and our safety, because we're not thinking about what we're doing. So ensuring that you have the 3 days of rations and medicine and water and food and all the equipment that you need at home, if you need a generator at your house because your power routinely goes out, having those things already available, your family understanding and knowing how they work and how to operate them, only allows you more of the ability to go out there and to do the job that we're paid to do, especially in a crisis situation.
I really like that outlook. I tell you, I can't tell you how many times I've been on the street working with somebody and we've got something going on, and Y2K was the perfect example, and it's getting close to midnight and I've got friends who I normally think are completely competent and capable, and they just seem like a box of rocks, and I'm like, dude, what's going on? And they say, well, I'm worried about my wife, I'm worried about the house, I'm worried about the kids. You know, what's really going to happen at midnight? The things that we can control, I think we need to focus on before we ever leave the house. The things that we can't, somehow we need to learn to deal with those, and that sometimes that's a challenge.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, we routinely had conversations with my guys on the streets about making sure that you had everything at home prepared, because when the flag went up and people said that they needed us, it couldn't be, well, I can't come because we don't have any water at the house, or I can't come because I don't want to leave my family. At those times in particular, our communities need us the most. So we have to prepare our families as first, and our pets or whatever you have at home, to ensure that they can deal without us while we go do our shift, because that's when we're needed the most. That's when we're going to get the emergency call outs. That's when those things are going to happen. And we need to make sure that all the time that we're prepared. It's not just a prepper thing. It's a first responder thing. All firefighters should be doing the same. If we can't come when we're the most needed, then what use are we?
I agree with you 100%. I like that you make the difference between, because I'm thinking National Emergency Preparedness Month. We happen to be in hurricane season. You and I live relatively near the East Coast. It's not uncommon for hurricanes to affect us. Irene last year being the perfect example. It's late August. We have an earthquake, then we have a hurricane, and people are without power. But, you know, the officer can get called out 2, 3 in the morning with no notice. When natural disasters occur and they get called in and it's not even their shift, which we both know happens, they don't know if it's going to be an 8, 10, 12, 48, 72-hour shift. They don't know how long they're going to be gone for. And I imagine that's got to be even more applicable for fire service guys. So I really like the idea of 24/7, 365, making sure home is ready for you to be called out completely unexpected, for you to be called away.
Absolutely. It's a must, and it helps everybody. Nobody wants to ever leave their family when there's a crisis going on in the area, whether it's weather-related or human-related or anything else. But the end result is we volunteer to do this job. Nobody drafted us to be here, and we understood that when we first strapped on the uniform, put on the gun, shined the badge up. We understood that, and we need to make sure that throughout our careers that we remind ourselves of that, that while family always comes first, there are things that we can do to prepare our families to make sure that they're ready to go. They can have some sort of natural living while we're gone, but we're going to come home at the end of our shift and be able to get them ready for the next time that we go. And that it is a year-round process. It's a preparation process. It's not a zombie apocalypse thing that you need to get prepared for, but it's just common sense. And it's something that, yes, since 9/11, it's another thing that has changed with what we do. It's no longer just running the 911 hang-up calls and the destruction of property reports. It's even being able to prepare our families at home for if something horrible does happen, or if there is a weather-related issue, that they're prepared to stay at home without us and can survive and still have some sort of stability to their life while we're gone and we're doing our job and we're in essence at the basics of what we get paid to do.
All right, now having covered that, let's talk about and going to work. The police officers going to work typically uniform, even if their uniform is a suit. The gear that they've got on them, even if it's distributed in pockets instead of on a gun belt, they're going out to their car, marked car, unmarked car, SUV, doesn't matter. Daily preparation for me always meant, I mean, the military background does this too. You got to make sure your uniform looks squared away. You got to make sure your gun's clean. You know, you got to make sure your handcuffs are oiled relatively enough so that you don't break somebody's wrist putting them on. It's okay if it's a little uncomfortable. You know, what do we, when we look at the car, you get the typical stuff, make sure the lights work. How many of your guys actually do a vehicle inspection? Well, let me ask you this. Do you guys have assigned patrol cars?
We do. We have take-home patrol cars, which is a very nice benefit to have.
It is. How often do they check them and inspect them, do you think?
Well, they're supposed to be inspected per our particular agency's policy every month. That routinely gets done. However, just like any other department out there and just like anything else that's out there, it's a check-the-block form, and most people really aren't even looking. It's just simply to get it done so that other people stay off your butt.
Now,
and it becomes, especially during these times of the year, this time of the year, it becomes increasingly more important that everything be working. As we get into winter, you know as well as I do, you live through the big East Coast snowstorms from the last couple of years, and you know, not being able to drive your car because you don't have any tread on the tires just isn't going to cut it.
Right. Now, let me talk about this for a second, because two things. One, I know when I was in the Army, we never had issued cars, obviously. So as an MP, we had to inspect our vehicle every day, and God help you if you just checked off that form and turned it in, and then the next guy that took the car found something wrong with the car because you got blamed for it. So it was a matter of covering your butt to actually do the inspection properly and thoroughly. But that's one perspective. That's the making sure you don't get in trouble. How about making sure we don't need something, we don't need a performance from that vehicle that we then don't get because we didn't check? How often do circuits blow? How often does oil leak? How often do tires go flat or have slow leaks? Guys, for everybody listening, guys, girls, even if you're confused about what you are, I don't care. If you put on a badge every day, for the love of goodness, before you get in that vehicle, really make sure you can put your light, you can count on that vehicle to protect your life, because that's what you're doing. It's going to get you where you're going in a safe and efficient manner. Now, I am going to take this and make it seasonal for a minute here, LT. You get to get used to being called that now. if we're going into winter, we're in hurricane season, whatever. I like the winter example because it's easier for me to think about. Winter rolls around. My wife drives to work every day and back. I make sure she has a sleeping bag in there, at least a day's worth of minimal food. I used to leave water in there, but then I realized that freezes if you just leave it in there all the time, and that becomes a waste of time. And if there's that much snow that she's stuck, she can melt snow to drink. So I make sure there's a sleeping bag. I make sure there's food. She used to laugh at me, and I tell her, look, if the vehicle breaks down on the side of the road, you can't count on it to provide you heat. You need to have a way of keeping warm. So that's what the purpose of the sleeping bag was, and the one that we use for travels is 0-degree rated, so it does okay given where we're at. It's seldom going to get below zero. Should cops be doing the same thing?
I think you should to a certain extent. I can tell you, especially during hurricane season, I carry a chainsaw in the back of my car. I have been
involved. That's not going to keep you warm. What's up with that?
Well, I have been involved in multiple responses for hurricanes, tornadoes, you name it, we've had it in the area that we live, and I've literally gotten stuck between two downed trees and had to cut myself out.
Okay.
I routinely carry a snow shovel during the wintertime, just in case I need to dig myself out. I carry an extra set of thermals in my go bag. I have several different go bags for several different things in my car. One obviously being the active shooter kit. I carry a go bag for that. I also carry a supervisor's go bag that has whiteboards and pencils and maps of the county and things like that.
Right.
And then I carry, especially during the wintertime, I carry another bag with me that has dry clothes, dry socks. You know, other things, usually I carry an MRE with me. I haven't gone as far in my police car as carrying a sleeping bag simply because I think that my agency may have a problem with that, especially knowing that we work midnights, and it could be viewed differently.
I could see that, but you know,
so,
but something to keep you warm. I mean, what do you do if you're out? Well, and I'll digress a little bit. If it's snowing that bad, typically, you know, patrol gets suspended, and you're sitting at a firehouse, you're sitting at a station, you're sitting someplace, you know, centralized so you can get to where you need to go. If you need to go, but literally, seriously, what happens if you get stuck someplace and you're waiting for help and you can't get, I mean, you need to stay warm. Typically, we're supposed to dress for it. I understand not having a sleeping bag in your car because your agency might not like it. And it's even worse when it's a blanket and you're parked at the firehouse. They probably don't like that. But what else do you put in there? That aside, you've got more go bags than anybody else I know, by the way. I mean, in my cruiser, I always had the active shooter go bag, and I had the, oh, crap, I'm stuck on a perimeter for 24 hours because SWAT really stands for sit, wait, and talk go bag. You know, that had food and water in it and extra batteries and stuff like that. You've got a whole lot more. What else do you throw in there?
I usually have an extra set of boots, an extra set of socks, thermals, a set of spare gloves in there. It's just stuff that we have laying around our house that we've acquired throughout our career that you know, if you're married, you look at, your wife looks at it and goes, why do you have four sets of this?
Right.
Usually I carry an extra flashlight in there. And they've served me well. I'm going on my 20th year being a police officer between the time that I spent in the military and out here, and it served me well throughout my career. As far as having those things, and even if it's been to share them with other people. In the last snowstorm that we had, my guys all, when we got 25 inches of snow on the East Coast, many of them didn't come prepared. So within 20 minutes of being at work, their boots are absolutely soaking wet. Their socks are soaking wet. And we were able to share some of the equipment that I had with my guys to keep them more comfortable. Even if it's not for me, there are other people that just don't think like you and I that do our job, that no matter how many times you encourage them to think ahead, they sometimes just don't. And at the position that I was in as a sergeant and now as a lieutenant, a lot of that, you have to learn to take care of your troops. So even if it's not for you, it's for your other guys that are out there. Even something like getting a case of meal-ready MREs or something that you can hand out when you are stuck at a firehouse or you're stuck at the station and there's no place open. We had a major tornado come through here roughly about 10 years ago, and there was nothing in this area that was open to eat for the first 24 hours.
Right.
Nobody had power.
I remember that.
So you know, what are the guys going to eat? And you still have to have some form of comfort while you're working. We got MREs. The guys were eating MREs for a day. It's not bad for a day. The guys overseas are doing it for years.
I want to give you a different option. And I found these things actually when I was working after Hurricane Katrina down in New Orleans. We got exposed to something called heater meals. Are you familiar with these?
Not particularly.
Heatermeals.com. It's literally a box that you pull it out. It's like a television dinner almost, but it comes with a heater pack and the 2 ounces of water necessary to get the heater pack activated. So you take the covered tray of food out, you take out your heater pack, you put the heater pack, you get it activated, fold it over, tape it shut, you put that in the box, then you put the tray back in the box but upside down, so that the food's against the heater pack, and you close the box up, and 10 minutes later, you have a hot meal. My favorite one is the pepper steak. Oh, it's good. They make a number of different entrees. They make them, and the storage life on them is anywhere from like 3 to 5 years. They make whole box meals that comes with a drink, an entree, a dessert, a snack, condiments, and all that stuff if you want those. And one of the best things they make, if you're a coffee addict like I am, and no, this was not meant to be an advertisement for Heater Meals. I just really fell in love with this stuff. They make a cafe to go. It's a box that makes 20 cups of coffee and comes with the cups, the sugar, the creamer, the stirrers, all that stuff in there. All you have to do is add the water. It heats itself up, and it makes the coffee. I couldn't live without it, to be honest with you. And thinking about the way what you've said here, you know, I'm sitting here thinking, if I was a supervisor today, especially during the winter months where there's a chance I was going to get stuck, I would probably have like one of those plastic organizer trays in my trunk that would have a couple of dozen cans of good hearty soup of some kind, you know, a couple of boxes of crackers or something. You can get boxes of like the sipper bags, fruit punch that you can drink, whatever. I'd have something, even if it was bottled water, canned water, I'd have something. And I'd probably keep that in my trunk all winter. Stuff's got a storage life of a year, so it would be pretty easy. But Heater Meals are even they're better than MREs in that they taste a whole lot better than MREs. Not quite as many calories, but easier to carry two or three of them around with you. So we'll check those out at your leisure. Definitely, I've got one of the 20 cup box of cafes to go that I'll get to you. You'll like that too. I love the idea of the supervisor making sure his guys are ready to go, and I'm going to put you on the spot. For our listeners, newly promoted lieutenant, we're gonna really make you earn that. Is it a gold bar or a silver bar?
They're gold in our department.
Cool. We're going to make you the butter bar, lieutenant. I'm going to pick on you. You got to talk to your guys. It's hurricane season. What do you tell them? Hey, guys, make sure you've got A, B, C, D, and E. What are you telling them to make sure they've got, specifically because it's hurricane season, if anything?
Well, what I tell them first is we go over, and we've had this conversation several times in roll call, things to do at your house. Make sure that your family's prepared so that you can get to work. The next thing that in your cars, if you have a chainsaw and you feel like bringing it to work, and it's something that you're comfortable with operating, then you feel free to bring that with you. Make sure that you have some extra gas for it and an extra chain and the lube and everything that goes with it.
Right.
The next thing that I tell them to do is to make sure they have a dry set of uniforms with them, dry set of boots, and a dry change of socks and drawers. We then talk about making sure that they have leather gloves with them or some type of a work glove to protect their hands. Make sure that they have some type of a eye protection, whether it be regular glasses, safety glasses, or goggles. We've talked about, we ensure that we talk about water safety. For the county that I work in is surrounded by water on three sides. So we discuss beforehand the decision-making process that needs to happen if they do respond to something that from the shoreline of what it is, what they can and should not do for water rescues. Do you have rope in your car? Do you have something that floats that you could throw to somebody? In the area that I patrol, I watch the tide come up 6 feet in a matter of 10 minutes and watch it surround people on a parking lot during Hurricane Isabel. We talk about making sure that they have plenty of water in their car so that they can not only both stay hydrated, but just in case they have to pass it out to somebody else. Having something to eat, whether it be crackers or a sandwich or something that doesn't disappear, that doesn't go bad. Any medicines that they may need. If they're like me, they don't eat the best in the world and their cholesterol is high, so making sure that they have their medicine with them.
Shame on you.
I understand that. 36 years old and already taking medicine. I completely understand that. It's just, what do you think that you're going to need over a 12-hour period? Could there be a use for an e-tool or some type of a small shovel? There may be.
Right.
We spend a tremendous amount of time going over the difference. If you see down lines, can you tell on the scene of something the difference between cable lines and power lines and telephone lines? My answer to them is, no, you can't. So if you see down lines, just stay away from them. Assume that they're hot.
Right.
So there's a lot of preparation that goes into it because unlike the earthquake that we had out here, snowstorms and hurricanes are predicted days out. So the conversations have to start happening days ahead of time as
Thank
far as
you.
What they're doing to protect themselves.
Thank you.
There are always going to be things like hostage situations or things like that, missing children. We just had an eight-year-old the other day that went missing, and we had a major search operation for that. There's going to be things like that that just come up out of the blue. But hurricanes, weather events, things like that, we can predict those days out. So the preparation, especially from the supervisor passing it down to their troops, has to start days out so that the last minute when it's happening and you've been rolled into 12-hour shifts, you're not getting the "I can't come to work, Sarge, because I can't get out of my driveway,"
right?
Or whatever. Those things have to occur beforehand.
All right, now I'm going to change gears on you, make you think. We've got that's hurricane. We've got a blizzard predicted. What are you telling them? Anything different?
The clothing stays the same. I always tell my guys, have some salt with you. Go to the store. You can buy some salt. You can probably go to your local state highway administration and get a bag of it. Or get a bucket of it. Have some salt with you. Have a shovel with you. A general idea of the things that you're going to need in snow. When we got 25 inches of snow, simply driving from out of my driveway was not an option. We talked about whether if they had a four-wheel drive vehicle, driving their four-wheel drive vehicle to work to utilize the four-wheel drive vehicles that we had at work. We never want them to utilize their personal vehicles on patrol. We talked about, what plans you would make. Would you, if you know that your street doesn't get plowed, much like my street doesn't get plowed, but maybe once during a snowstorm, do you have alternative places to stay to ensure that you can come to work? Can you put your family somewhere where they're safe? And maybe you don't, and you make the decision that you're going to stay at the station for a couple of days. Those are decisions that we made. That form of leadership doesn't start at the event. That form of leadership and that form of building that loyalty and dedication in with your troops has to start well before it.
LT, thank you for bringing that up, because it's one thing to be prepared from an equipment point of view. It's one thing to be prepared from a training point of view. It is entirely different to be prepared from the "I have faith in my leadership" perspective. Leadership has to earn that, and leadership does it by leading. You lead by example, and that good communication. I'm really glad to hear you say that. It's good to know that exists still in law enforcement, because you and I both know in plenty of places too many people are managers. They're not leaders, and leadership is definitely mandatory. I'll tell you something. I didn't realize my county, obviously surrounded by on three sides by water, I never realized that about yours. I thought it was only two, and even then it didn't really dawn on me. There's rivers on both sides, so how bad is that? I don't think people realize how much water there is around and the water safety necessity, whether it's pools, rivers, reservoirs, whatever it is. I don't think people realize the importance of water safety today for cops.
Absolutely not. I think when I went through the academy, we had to do a water safety day, and I actually think we came to your county to do it. But I don't even know if they do that anymore. And we routinely have, a car that goes over an embankment into the water. And those are decisions people have to make of what they're capable of and what their abilities are to be able to do that. I'm not a big swimmer. I don't do those things very well. So I know what my limitations are. For that reason, I usually have some type of a 50-foot rope in my car that I can throw to somebody. And I've actually used that before while I've been working. Other guys, they feel more comfortable in the water. They've rushed into the water, dumped their gear and dumped their gun belt and rushed into the water to try and save people that are overturned. If they have that ability, they have that ability. I believe that the statistics are pretty astonishing, the amount of people that go to save somebody else and actually end up drowning themselves because they didn't have the ability to do what they were trying to do.
Right.
And both people end up drowning.
I tell you, it's one of the first things you said that was dump your gear. I'll never forget when I went through water safety. It was actually, they called it water survival training. When you put on your gun belt, vest, boots, whatever, you get in the water, and people get quite surprised when they sink like a rock.
Absolutely.
And they don't realize that. You start ditching your gear, you got to ditch your gun belt. Usually you got to ditch your vest and really think about what you're doing. You've got to make sure that your gear is someplace safe. I mean, it's got to be secured. You can't just be running and drop it as you go and leave your gun laying there. That doesn't work. We both know that. It might look good in the movies. Ain't reality. So you got to be able to get that stuff off before you go jumping in to do somebody else some good. But listen, LT, we're about 25 minutes in, and I know I told you we had a 30-minute hard timeline. What haven't we covered that you think is mandatory from the emergency preparedness perspective since it's National Emergency Preparedness Month?
Well, I think the biggest thing is just making sure that, like we started with, making sure that your family and your relatives, the people that are around you, your neighbors, are safe, that you're trusted, that if you have to leave, you know, we've talked for years in law enforcement about the sense of community and how the perception is that it's been lost. And there's no better time to get to know your neighbors than before an emergency happens, because then you have a whole community that can band together to go out there and to help your, not only your family, but everybody else's family. In my little community that I live in, I'm lucky enough to know my neighbors on each side, and we still tell each other when we're going out of town. We've shared a generator before just to keep some semblance of normalcy in the house when you're out of power for 4 days. And having that small sense of community in your neighborhoods is important, especially when you know, because you're a first responder, because you're a police officer, that you're going to have to go. The option to say no a lot of times doesn't exist.
Right.
And to be comfortable that at home everything is okay, is a godsend for us. We, especially during the time of crisis, when we're dealing with everybody else's problems because they can't help themselves, because they weren't prepared. And during any type of crisis like that, that's weather related or that's a major human crisis, to know that everything at home is going well and is okay, takes a gigantic burden off your people. But once again, the biggest issue is the preparation beforehand, and if you hold a leadership position, that it's done, that all that information is passed out well beforehand, and that respect and that desire and that loyalty is earned enough to where you know your people are going to come to work.
Cool. And on that note, we're going to sign off. Lieutenant Jason Stoddard, thank you very much for your time today. Keep staying safe. Keep staying prepared. For our listeners, you need to check out WTGTactical.com for all the gear that they can provide. They've got all your needs, head to toe. And Warrior Training Group for your training needs if you need them anywhere domestically. You guys going overseas yet, LT?
Not yet. Love to, but not yet.
So if you're listening from overseas, they can do that too. Thank you again, Jason. I appreciate it. All of our listeners, stay safe. Officer Radio will be back again next week.